disconcerted and allowed his dirty brush to fall on his drawing. That is all. When Omara had gone, Alain wandered about the room whistling under his breath and paid no attention at all to Fox or Nigel.
"Look here," said Nigel at last, "I want to use a telephone."
"You?"
"Yes, don't look at me as though I was a fabulous monster. I want to use the telephone, I say."
"You're burning to ring up your odious newspaper. You may say that there has been a fatal accident at Tatters End House, Bossycott, and that an artist's model has died as the result of this accident. You may add that the authorities are unable to trace the whereabouts of the victim's relatives and are anxious to communicate with Mr. W. Garcia, who is believed to be on a walking tour and may be able to give them some information about the model's family. Something on those lines."
"If Garcia is not our man," continued Alain to Fox, "and sees that, he may do something about it."
"That's so," said Fox. "And now we'll deal with the last of this collection, if you please, Fox. The languishing Malmsley."
"I'll go to the telephone," said Nigel.
"Very well. You may tell them that there will be a further instalment tomorrow. And Bathgate, you might ring my mamma up and say we won't be in until after midnight."
"All right."
Nigel and Fox collided in the doorway with Bailey, who looked cold and disgruntled.
"Hello," said Alain. "Wait a moment, Fox. Let's hear what Bailey's been up to."
"I've been over the deceased room," said Bailey. "This deceased's prints, and one that looks like this Garcia. It's inside the door where the maid's missed with the duster, and there's another print close beside it that isn't either of them. Broad, man's print, I'd say, and of course there are the maids all over the show. I've checked those. Nothing much about the clothes. Note from Garcia in a pocket. She was in the family way, all right."
He opened his case and from a labelled envelope drew out a piece of paper laid between two slips of glass. Alain took the slips delicately in his fingers and laid them on the desk.
"Dear S, what do you expect me to do about it? I've got 2 quid to last me till I get to Troy's. You ask for it anyway. Can't you get somebody to fix things? It's not exactly likely that I should want to be saddled with a wife and kid, is it? I've got a commission for a big thing, and for God's sake, don't throw me off my stride. I'm sorry, but I can't do anything. See you at Troy's. Garcia."
"A charming fellow," said Alain.
"That was in a jacket pocket. Here's a letter that was just kicking about at the back of the wardrobe. Somebody called Bobby."
This letter was written in an enormous hand on dreadful pink paper.
"Dear Sonia, I'm sorry you're in for it, dear. I think it's just frightful. I do think men are the limit, but of course I never liked the sound of that Garcia. Too far upstage, if you ask me, but they're all alike when it comes to a girl. Same to you with bells on, and pleased to join in the fun at the start, and sorry you've been troubled. This takes me off when they know you're growing melons. I've asked Dolores Duval for the address she went to when she had a spot of trouble, but she says the police found out about that lady, so it's no go. Anyway, I think your idea is better, and if Mr. Autistic Garcia is willing, okay, and why not, dear? You might as well get it both ways, and I suppose it's all right to be married. He sounds a lovely boy, but you never do know with that sort. Did I ever tell you about my boyfriend who was a lord? He was a scream, really, but nothing ever came of that, thank God. It will be okay if you come here on Friday. I might ask Cohen for a brief out. You know what managements are like these days. Dear, they sweat the socks off you for the basic salary. And when it comes to asking for a brief for a lady friend, it's just too bad, but they've forgotten how the chorus goes in that number. Thank you very much. Good morning."
I laughed till I sobbed over the story of the Seacliff women's picture.
"It must have looked a scream when you'd done with it. But all the same, dear, your temperament will land you well in the consomme one of these days, dear, if you don't learn to curb yourself, which God knows you haven't done, what with one thing and another. What a yell about marmalade's little bit of dirt. Well, so long, dear. Keep smiling. See you Friday. Hoping this finds you well as I am. Cheerio, ever so sincerely, your old pal Bobby. P.S. You want to be sure BP won't turn nasty and say, 'All right, go ahead, I've told her the story of my life anyhow, so now what?'"
Nigel returned while Alain was still chuckling over Miss O'Dorn's letter.
"What's up?" asked Nigel.
"Bailey has discovered a rich plum. I fancy it's the sort of thing your paper calls a human document. A gem in its own way." Nigel read over Fox's shoulder. "I shall have to see Miss Bobby O'Dorn. She may be the girl we all wait for. Anything else, Bailey?"
"Well," said Bailey grudgingly, "I found this." He took out of his case a shabby blue book and handed it to Alain.